to the Connect Kindness podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans. Thank you for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast today. In today's episode, we interview Jackie Daughtry with Making It Better. And what they do is they serve underprivileged kids through the joy of literature.
And we had a great conversation with Jackie, learning all about Making It Better and all of the programs that they offer. They offer four unique programs, which serves children from ages 6 months all the way to fifth grade. They are really laying the foundation for these children's lives through literacy. So without further ado, this is our interview with Jackie Daughtry of Making It Better.
Thank you for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast today. I wanted to start off by allowing you to talk a little bit more about Making It Better and why it was founded.
Well, our founder is Jerry Davis, who currently serves on the Houston City Council. And Jerry just has such a heart for children, especially children who maybe don't have as many opportunities as other children. And his goal and vision and just heart's desire is that all children would have access to not only great academic opportunities or interventions, but also to have opportunities for enrichment activities that stimulate social and emotional well-being, as well as really meaningful relationships with adults who are consistent, who really love them, and to show up for them every day. And so that was his vision in starting Making It Better. And I was really honored and blessed for him to call me in on the very, very beginning to help him really think through how that would look and what we would do together to get it started. And I'm really thrilled to say that 11 and a half years later, that vision is going strong, and we have not swayed from that original vision of giving kids opportunities and focusing on the whole child, their social, emotional, and academic.
That's amazing that you guys have been able to stay on track for so long. You know, congratulations. 11 years is quite a long time. I know you guys have a lot of reading intervention programs, and you have it within 9 campuses in Houston. Can you tell us about those programs and what those needs serve?
We are on 9 Houston ISD Title I campuses, and that means that the majority of the children, if not all of the children on those campuses, are classified as low socioeconomic groups. And so they, just by definition of their family income, they have a lot of needs that maybe some other children don't have. The schools do an amazing job. Teachers work incredibly hard and incredibly long hours. A lot of people think, oh, teachers, wow, what a gig. They just work from 8 to 3. No, I've never known a teacher that only works from 8 to 3. Teachers have a lot on their plate to handle, not just academically instructing the children, but also taking care of all the emotional needs of the kids. So we are on those campuses that really have a lot of children with high needs. And our reading intervention program serves children from kindergarten through second grade that are really struggling, particularly to get those foundational skills so that they can become really proficient readers, so that they'll be successful not only in school, but really throughout the rest of their lives. So we really believe in early intervention instead of waiting until much later, so that not only are we helping the kids academically, but that also helps their self-esteem. Because if you can imagine being a little kid, you know, 5 or 6 years old, 7 years old, and you realize that you really can't read like the other kids do in the class, it doesn't feel very good. And so those types of negative feelings, a child internalizes that, and a lot of times those things turn into other things like behavior problems, and then affects the academics not only of that child, but of all the kids in the class. So the kids just need a lot of a lot of support, and we are there to offer that support to them through our reading intervention program. And our staff that implements that program are very highly trained and skilled in delivering very individualized instruction, which is the key to propelling that child forward and getting him or her caught up to their peers in their classroom.
That is amazing. I agree with you what you said earlier about teachers. It is a really, really tough job. My mom taught school for 30 years, and she would get she would get off school at 3 and then work for another 3 hours grading papers and whatnot. So you guys, I love how y'all are focusing on the kindergarten to second grade with this intervention program. Those are really important age levels. Is there a specific reason why you guys focus on these grade levels?
Well, there is. Actually, when we first started, at the school's request, we focused on third through fifth graders. And as you can imagine, the reason for that was that those are the testing years for the state mandated testing. And not that those grades aren't important, but why wait until we're in an emergency situation? So after a number of years, we really started talking to the principals, asking them, could we serve the younger kids? Because we really, really believed that early intervention was the key. Because if you look at statistics, if a child is not reading proficiently and on grade level by the end of third grade, they are 4 times more likely not to graduate from high school.
Wow.
So those early years are critical. You can't wait till third grade or fourth grade to start giving, providing interventions for a child who's struggling. So if you think about a child at the end of third grade, they're usually about 9 years old. So by the time a child is 9, without a lot of interventions and some miracles along the way, really the trajectory of their little life can be largely determined. And so why would you wait? Why would you wait? And then thinking about children that interface with the juvenile justice system, we're talking children 10 to 17. 85% of those children are functionally illiterate.
Wow.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that there is a direct correlation between a child's ability to read, and I don't mean just read and sound out words, I mean really read and understand, just to comprehend and have a great vocabulary. There is a correlation between that and their ability to graduate from high school and then go on to some type of, secondary education, whether it's vocational or college or an associate's degree, and then not reaching their potential and even ending up within the juvenile justice system and then later on in adult prison, because adult prisoners, 70% read at a fourth grade level.
Wow.
It's just so easy to see that early intervention is the key.
Yeah, for sure. And, you guys are not only teaching these children how to read, you're spending time with them. You're boosting their confidence. I'm sure, if they don't know how to read, maybe people aren't necessarily, maybe the parents aren't spending the time needed for them to learn how to read. So I know you guys have a parent workshop program to get the parents involved. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about that?
I'd love to. We really believe that parents are a child's first and most important teacher. So getting parents engaged in their child's learning and in their education is so important. Teachers and us and other organizations can only do so much during a given day. But a parent is really the key to education for a child. So what we do with the parents of the children that are in our reading intervention program, we host workshops for them at the school campus twice a year. So we not only share with them the types of things we're working on with their child in their tutoring session, but we also give them activities that they can do at home. Of course, we provide everything in English and Spanish because a lot of our parents are not native English speakers. So we model those activities during the workshop, and these are fun, engaging things that you can do at home. Our desire is for parents to understand that even if they're not highly educated, many of the parents of the children we serve have not graduated from high school. So the parents often feel that maybe they don't have much to offer their child when it comes to education, but they do. Mm-hmm. They really, really do. And we show them how they can infuse literacy development into everyday life. This is not about having a lesson plan and sitting down at the table. This is about singing, doing rhymes, doing things while you're cooking, doing things while you're at the grocery store, while you're riding in the car. This is about really talking to your child, not just giving them commands, but really engaging them in rich conversation, no matter what the language is. It doesn't matter if it's English, Spanish, Swahili, you know, it doesn't matter. Just engaging them in conversation to build their vocabulary and to get those oral language skills built so that then when they learn to read, they can transfer that vocabulary into their reading, and so they'll be able to comprehend. So we show parents things that they can do at home. And not only that, but they leave our workshops with the materials to actually do the activities at home, because it's great to show somebody something, but if they are a family where most of ours are that are struggling just to put food on the table or to keep the electricity on, it's not like they can go out and buy supplies for their children or sure. even books. And so we supply all of that, and they also get to choose a new book for their child to either start or build their home library. Books are incredibly important to have age-appropriate books in the home, and that's something that we are very serious about. We will probably distribute about 7,000 books this school year.
Wow.
To help start or continue building home libraries, because that is a huge need in the homes of the children that we serve.
Absolutely. And Jackie, I'm curious, you know, telling a parent maybe that they're needing to do a better job. I think, you know, maybe sometimes ego could get involved from a parent's perspective. How do you get these parents to get involved in these programs?
Well, we don't know what everybody's circumstances are, right?
Sure.
So our desire is to really come alongside parents and to build them up and show them that, yes, you can do this. Mm-hmm. You have a lot to offer your child. And we're going to show you some fun things you can do. And we're going to, you know, help you by providing the supplies. We also go out into the community, into low-income apartment complexes that are near the schools that we serve. And we have family literacy nights. We'll have 5 of those this year. And these may or may not be families that are involved in our program. In fact, most will not be. And so we have usually 10 to 12 stations that are activity stations that are literacy development type of games. And so we have volunteers and staff that are there to really just talk to the parents. We really love on parents and the children.
That's awesome.
That's our secret.
Yeah.
is the relationship piece, because everybody, you know, innately, that's just how God made us. We long for relationship, right?
Absolutely.
And we long for acceptance. And that's not just children. That's us adults, too. So our staff is so amazing at that. We are an organization of people, staff and volunteers who love people and particularly love children. And we just love the children and we love the parents. And when people see that you're not judging them, that you really want to help and you're going to be there and you're going to keep being there, they really respond to that. It's not about, oh, we know and you don't know anything. It's about, let's do this together, because this is what's great for your child, and we love your child, and we want to help you know, give them access to opportunities. And so when they see that we're coming from a place of love and let's do this together, it's really not an issue at all.
I love that.
That's great. Yeah. That is great.
That
you know?
Is awesome.
You're giving them that extra support that sometimes parents need with juggling everything, with work, you know, raising a child, other personal things that are going on. You guys are really being there for them. So I commend you on that. I know you spoke about making it better. First started off at third through fifth, and you guys went ahead and changed that program a little bit and went through K through second. But I know there still is programs starting for the third grade and up, and it's a mentoring program. Can you kind of share about how that mentorship works with the kids, who mentors them?
Our mentoring program, we call it Lunch Bunch, and it's because it's during the child's lunch period. We have that program on 6 of our 9 campuses. It is overseen by one of our staff members, but it is totally facilitated by volunteer mentors that we train, and of course background check and all of those fun things that you do nowadays. Each mentor would have a group of 4 students, either a group of 4 girls or a group of 4 boys. And they meet with the children every once a week for about 30 minutes at the kids' lunchtime. We don't meet in the cafeteria because it's a little bit of a zoo in the cafeteria. So the school provides our mentors with a, you know, maybe it's a classroom or a little common space or something where they meet with the children. So they have lunch with the kids, and the curriculum is designed around really the social emotional aspects of a child. We would be working on things like self-esteem, how to develop and maintain positive relationships, talking about things like bullying and how they are a vital part of the community and how they can serve others. Just those kind of, you know, you call it soft skills, emotional intelligence skills, those types of things. And just really our desire is to get them prepared and knowing who they are and what a great kid they are before they go to middle school. The lessons are often start with a book because everything we do has a literacy component to it. So our volunteers are, gosh, we have bankers, we have real estate people, we have people that work in oil and gas, and their employers are, you know, supportive of this kind of thing. And then we have people who, we have a retired or pediatric orthopedic surgeon that's one of our mentors, moms who have raised children already and are now empty nesters and just love children, and so we're eager to use all of those mom skills and pour into the life of another child that might need some encouragement. So a mentor would start with a child in third grade or on some campuses fourth grade, and then they would stay with them through fifth grade, assuming the child does not move to another campus. So a child can be with a mentor either 2 years or 3 years. So it's really a meaningful relationship, and it's someone that the child can depend on and count on every week to come from October through April.
Wow. I bet after the fifth grade, they probably still continue the relationship, you know, after building that with the children. That's awesome. I heard through the grapevine that you guys are working on a new and exciting project. Can you share with us a little bit about what the future holds for Making It Better?
Yesterday, we had, in celebration of September being National Literacy Awareness Month, we had a rally for reading at one of our schools, Ross Elementary, over in Fifth Ward. And we had the official unveiling, ribbon cutting for our Reading Express, which is a shuttle bus that has been turned into a mobile classroom. And I'm telling you, it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. The wrap on the bus is amazing, amazing. And the inside, it turned out so well, beyond our expectations. This is a project that myself and another staff member, Audrey, dreamed up about 2.5 years ago. And it, of course, it grew way bigger than our initial thought, but we are beyond thrilled about it. And so this program will take what we used to have just at one of our apartment complexes, so it was stationary. It will take it on the road. We will be going to 8 different locations throughout the city of Houston, well, actually throughout Harris County. Some may not actually be in the city because our partner is Harris County, the Harris County Public Library. So we will be going to 8 different community type locations. We have a children's health clinic. We have churches. We have New Hope Housing, which is brand new, an association with the Star of Hope that is housing families who have been chronically and sometimes for multiple generations homeless. I think we're excited about all of our stops, but I think that's the one we're the most excited about, to be able to work with little children. This is serving children from 2 months old to 4 years old, and whoever is caring for them during the day, whether it's mom or dad or grandma or babysitter. Earlier I said, you know, we really believe early intervention is critical. As we have been serving kinder through second grade, we know that those little kindergartners, if they had had the opportunity prior to coming to kindergarten to be exposed to literacy-rich environments and activities, that they probably would not need our services in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Our plan with this is that we will go to each of these 8 stops once a week during the school year, and we will be working with the children and with their caregiver, and there will be lots of songs and movement, and we'll have read-alouds, and every single week a child, if they're old enough, or their mom if not, will be able to choose a book, thanks to a wonderful partnership we have with Books Between Kids and the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. Each child will get to take home a book. If you have multiple children in the program, each child still gets the book, not just one per family. So by the end of the program, each child will, if they've come every week, will have 28 books.
Wow.
So
that is so cool.
We're super excited about that. We also have a partnership with the Children's Museum that is for the littlest ones, the babies, that's called Welcome Baby. So we will be not only distributing, but showing those caregivers how to use the materials that the Children's Museum has prepared for those babies. So literacy development starts on day one. It doesn't start when you go to school. It starts day one of birth. So we are very committed to that, and we're so excited about this program and just really helping the parents or whoever it is that's caring for the children during the day to understand their role as that child's first teacher, and just showing them all the things that they can do and giving them great ideas and great supplies that they can take home, and also being a place of support, because our staff and volunteers will be a trusted adult for those moms or those grandmas or those dads to talk to about maybe struggles that they're having with the child or anything. And so we're really excited to be taking this out into the community, and all of the wonderful support we have received from so many partners. And it's just been an incredible journey. And yesterday to see that vision actually alive was amazing.
It was
hot as you know what outside, but oh my gosh, it was amazing.
That's,
it was just amazing.
That is so cool, and congratulations. I know 2.5 years from the idea to the launch, the birth, that's a long time. I'm sure you guys put so much time and effort into it, and to see it come to fruition is amazing. So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And with the amount of, the stats that you say that you're, putting so many books into young kids' lives at such an early age, and you're continuing to do it, Tim and I spoke about it. And we have a holiday party coming up for, a full-time job, and we were thinking about maybe we need to get everybody to bring some books, and we got to help you guys out to get some, get some more books for the kids. So that's something that we're going to talk to you about maybe after the podcast. But
great.
That was super inspiring, hearing about what you were doing, and we're like, we can help with that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think it's something so easy that a lot of people can help with. And for the people that want to volunteer with you guys and all the different programs, all the moving parts, you know, what are the qualifications for that? What's the process for them to work with these children?
Well, the first qualification is the state of their heart, actually, is just really having a heart for children and a heart for service is the most important thing for us. And then obviously they have to be able to pass a background check. And just being committed, mm-hmm. being a person that if you're going to commit to a weekly program, helping at the Reading Express or being a Lunch Bunch mentor or maybe helping our staff in the Reading Intervention Program, you're going to show up.
Yep.
You know, when you say you're going to show up, or maybe you don't have that flexibility, but you still want to do something, so you could come out. Periodically, you could come and help for 2 hours at a family literacy night, you know, kind of a one and done kind of deal. Or you could help sort books, you know, after a book collection. Or there's just many, many ways that people can get involved and help. And we would welcome that and love that.
You know, thank you so much, Jackie, for spending time with us and sharing what you guys are doing. And I know our listeners, they want to get involved as well. How can our listeners get in touch with Making It Better?
Well, you can go to our website, obviously, at mibtx.org. And there's all kinds of information on there. And there is a tab about helping us. And there's contact information. I mean, actually, my cell phone number is on there and my email. And I'm very happy for anybody to contact me directly or through our contact page on our website. The more, the merrier. Like our page on Facebook, of course. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, those are the important ones.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, go and like our Facebook. There's so many great things on there from yesterday, from the Rally for Reading, the Reading Express launch. So those would be fun things for people to see. And of course, I don't know that they're on our website yet, but they will be shortly if they're not already.
That's great. And thank you so much, Jackie, for taking the time out of your day to join us. We're really thankful to spend some time with you today and learn more about Making It Better. So thank you so much.
Yeah, we can hear the passion in your voice for helping people. And you got a huge heart, Jackie. So thank you for making the world a little better place.
Well, thank y'all so much. I just appreciate the opportunity to share, you know, a little bit about our story. And I mean, I personally and really our staff, we just consider it an honor and a privilege to serve the children and their families. Everybody doesn't get to do that. And we do. And we get to do something that we love every day and something that makes a difference. And it's a blessing. So thank you for helping us, you know, get that word out.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Share Give Do. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.